RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll bring you first our news, followed by news from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, week in review, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. To conclude our program for today, we'll present you to you our daily segment, Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. The government allocates 80.5 billion rupiahs to revitalize traditional markets. Home Affairs Ministry revokes 1,300 regulation to push investment. Banten to build livestock support. Now the news in detail. Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry has allocated 80.5 billion rupiahs to revitalize traditional markets in a number of provinces this year. Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises Minister Anak Agung Gede Ngurah Puspayoga in his press release on Saturday said that the government is very serious in revitalizing traditional markets to move the people's economy. The minister also said that the government is obliged to organize traditional markets because people's economy is closely related to traditional markets. Puspayoga said that the government are committed to revitalizing traditional markets. Therefore, the government has allocated budget from the state budget this year for those traditional markets. In addition to revitalizing traditional markets, the ministry would also ask traders to join cooperatives. Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo has rescinded more than 1,000 regional regulations that the central government has considered as a hindrance to the nation's plan to speed up development and attract investment to Indonesia. However, the number of regulations to be rescinded is expected to continue on rising. Speaking to the press at Indonesia Investment Week on Kemayoran on Saturday, May the 7th, the minister said the ministry had revoked 1,300 regional laws and regulations. He added there will be at least 3,000 more deregulations that will be conducted by June or at latest July this year. He admitted that some regional administration had lashed against this decision. Cahyo Kumolo explained that his move to deregulate does not harm regional autonomy, but those administration need to bear in mind that regional regulations cannot hamper national growth and obstruct, if not repel, investments into the country. In a separate occasion, President Joko Widodo has said that he welcomed the Home Ministry's decision to cut the red tape across Indonesia's regional bureaucracy. The president added that the ministry needs to keep the quality of their regulation in checks. Banten Husbandry and Agricultural Agency supported the investment plan of the Australian government to build a livestock seaport in Bojonegara, Serang, in order to boost the development livestock breeding in Banten. Head of Banten Husbandry and Agriculture Agency Agus Tauhid in Serang on Saturday said that the plan to build the seaport would be done by Australian foreign investors and would not impede the development of local livestock breeders in Banten because supply of beef in Banten is still low. According to Agus, around 30-40% of beef consumed in Banten is still supplied from outside Banten, such as Lampung, East Jawa, Central Jawa, and West Jawa. He explained that the livestock seaport could develop livestock breeding for feedlotter or companies that develop livestock. He added that currently there are 6 feedlotters in Bandung and they have not been able to meet the beef demand in Banten. The runway of Marinda Airport in Raja Ampat Regency, West Papua, will be extended to 1,600 meters. The West Papua Deputy Governor, Irene Manibui, in Sorong on Sunday said that the extension of the runway is done after the airport is transferred by the regional government to be managed and developed by Transportation Ministry. He added that the administration process of the transfer is still ongoing. Marinda Airport is currently serving only small planes and it has a runway with the length of 1,200 meters and width of 30 meters. According to the governor, Transportation Minister Ignatius Jonan hopes that the runway of the airport could be extended to 1,600 meters or even to 1,000 meters if the lands are available. Last item. Bali exports of various handicraft and small industrial products to European countries declined in the first 3 months this year because the economic growth in Europe has not yet recovered well. Exporter Made Perwata said in Denpasar on Saturday that importers from Europe still demanded for various handicraft, garments and furniture products, but the volume was not as big as that of last year. He added that importers from Spain still maintained stable demand and delivery was still smooth. Other European importers were those from Italy, France and Germany. These countries are included as the Big Ten importers of Bali's products. However, the Central Bureau of Statistics data showed that imports of these products by France, Spain, Italy, and Germany declined from $19 million US in the January-March 2015 period to $17 million US in the same period this year. To end the news, here are the main points once again. The government allocates 80.5 billion rupiahs to revitalize traditional market. Home Affairs Ministry revokes 1,300 regulation to push investment. Banten to build livestock seaport. That was the end of the news. I'm Anat Rijayakasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with news from across the country, which presents a variety of interesting information from Indonesia in a week. The first comes from Bandung, West Jawa. West Jawa Governor Ahmad Heriawan on Monday inaugurated Tebing Keraton Tourist Spot located in the area of Insinyur Haji Juanda Forest Park or Tahura in Cimenyan, West Bandung Regency. Tebing Keraton or Keraton Cliff is a complement of the Juanda Forest Park Conservation Area. The governor hopes the region will remain a forest conservation without changing the function into production forest or others, but can still provide other benefits such as education and economic benefits. He said in the future, this place could be developed into a tourist area of special interest for education, research, sports, and tourism. According to him, Tebing Keraton or Keraton Cliff Compound is a nature-based tourism with forest scenery. There are two things to offer here, namely a place or a spot to see the natural scenery of the Bandung Basin and to see the amazing sunrise from the top of the cliff. Next news comes from Jepara, Central Jawa. The frequency of passenger ships departures from the island of Karimun Jawa Regency in Jepara, Central Jawa is increased, along with the increasing the number of tourists who vacationing in the island. Head of Sea Transportation in the Department of Communication and Information Jepara, Sutana, on Wednesday said the departures of fast boat heading to Karimun Jawa are every Monday, Tuesday, Friday, and Saturday, while from Karimun Jawa to Jepara every Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, and Sunday. The departure schedule is then added with one on Wednesday and two departures on Thursday. Sutana said the soaring number of passengers who want a vacation to Karimun make a lot of tourists could not get the tickets. He estimated that many passengers who bought tickets online so that tourists who have not booked in advance could not get a ticket. To overcome the problem, the scheduled departure of the ship has been increased.
The last news comes from Bandar Lampung. The Kochan Fairy Tale community in Lampung teach effective ways of storytelling. This is a medium to instill the value of life to children, which requires proper understanding so that parents can tell the stories well. The Kochan Storytelling Community Creative Coordinator Iin Mutmainah in a storytelling workshop on Wednesday said that fairy tales have an important role for children. According to her, the storytelling process ignites the imagination of children and alert intelligence. In the workshop, a theme Children Fantasia, Iin gives some tips on delivering fairy tales. One of them is to bear in mind that all children love stories, singing, and playing. According to her, what kind of story deserves to be given to children depending on the age range of the children. According to her, these activities is held as part of supporting Indonesia Education Week, which is celebrated during the month of May, along with dozens of community educators and non-education belonging to the Education in Indonesia celebration. The program is an initiative of the Teachers Learning Community's Facebook fan page, a community of educators to discuss and share smart practices of teaching and learning initiated by Guru Cikal Campus. Well, that was news from across Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is NRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. First is of May 8, 1828. Henry Dunant is born. World Red Cross and Red Crescent Day is an annual celebration of the principles of the International Red Cross and Red Crescent Movement. World Red Cross Red and Crescent Day is celebrated on May the 8th each year, and this date is the anniversary of the birth of Henry Dunant, who was born on May the 8th, 1828. He is the founder of International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, and the recipient of the first Nobel Peace Prize. Dunant was a Swiss businessman and social activist. During a business trip in 1859, he was a witness to the aftermath of the Battle of Solferino in modern-day Italy. He recorded his memories and experiences in the book A Memory of Solferino, which inspired the creation of the International Committee of the Red Cross, or ICRC, in 1863. Over now to an event of May 8, 1963, President Sukarno prohibits the Cultural Manifesto. Cultural Manifesto, or known as Manikebu, is the concept of a national culture initiated by poets and authors on August 17, 1963. This manifestation was born to compensate artists and poets' wing group of social realism who were assembled in the Cultural Organization of the People, or LECRA. The initiator of this manifestation is Wiratmo Sukito, and participating in it including Taufik Ismail, Arif Budiman, and Gunawan Muhammad. In the manifestation, they explain their art concept, universal humanism, and their views on the national culture. However, on May 8, 1963, Indonesian President then Sukarno prohibited the Cultural Manifesto, which was considered deviant and wanted to compete with the Political Manifesto, which was initiated in 1925. Last is from May 8, 1993. Marsina, an Indonesian labor activist, found dead. Marsina, a factory worker in Sidoarjo, East Jawa, was an activist who was found dead on May 8, 1993, in a forest in East Jawa. She was an activist fighting for wage increases and lunch money during the New Order era. She was kidnapped and her body was found in poor condition. Until now, the perpetrators of the violence against Marsina is still unknown. President Abdurrahman Wahid and President Megawati had asked for Marsina's case to be totally revealed and solved. However, until now, the Commission for Missing Persons and Acts of Violence, or CONTRAS, said that the death of Marsina is still a mystery. This case is in the record of the International Labour Organization, ILO, and is known as a Case 1773. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Highlight of the Week. This time it's entitled Indonesia Timor Leste Cooperation in Industrial Engineering. Stay tuned. The government of Indonesia and East Timor agreed to push bilateral economic development, especially in the industrial, trade, and investment sectors. The deal was marked by the signing of a Memorandum of Understanding on Technical Cooperation between Indonesian Minister of Industry Saleh Hussein and Minister of Commerce, Industry and Environment of the Democratic Republic of Timor Leste, Constancio Pinto, in Jakarta on Wednesday. Saleh Hussein said that the deal is the implementation of the Declaration on the New Asian-African Strategic Partnership that resulted from the Asian-African Summit on April 22nd and 23rd, 2015 in Bandung, West Java. He said the activities include the implementation of capacity-building programs and other technical cooperation. Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste has been put into South-South cooperation and triangular mapping compiled by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Indonesia. The scope of cooperation between the two countries would include capacity building of human resources, institutional capacity building, training programs in certain industrial fields, and exchange of information. In addition, there are also cooperation on technical training, expert assistance, as well as promotional of industrial products and other activities agreed by both parties. Indonesia is committed to support the East Timorese government with a $6 million worth aid from 2013 to 2017 through a foreign technical cooperation program carried out by various ministries and agencies. Meanwhile, the Minister of Trade, Industry and Environment of the Democratic Republic of Timor-Leste, Constancio Pinto, expressed his gratitude to Indonesia for its support to Timor-Leste to ensure that the youngest country in Asia is able to compete to attract investors and adopt reforms to speed up membership in ASEAN. Through the Memorandum of Understanding, Indonesia will mainly provide training to youth and also improve the small and medium industries in Timor-Leste. On that occasion, Timor-Leste also invited Indonesian businessmen to invest in areas such as plantation, fishery, and tourism. Constancio Pinto said industry potential in Timor-Leste is still great. In addition, East Timor has developed a national industrial policy that focuses on resource-based industries with the aim of increasing the contribution of the manufacturing industry and have added value. Well, that was highlight of the week on Indonesia-Timor-Leste Cooperation in Industrial Engineering. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Time now to bring you news in brief. Cooperative and Small and Medium Enterprises Ministry has allocated 80.5 billion rupiahs to revitalize traditional markets in a number of provinces this year. Home Affairs Minister Cahyo Kumolo has rescinded more than 1,000 regional regulations that the central government has considered as a hindrance to the nation's plan to speed up development and attract investment to Indonesia. Banten Husbandry and Agricultural Agency supported the investment plan of the Australian government to build a livestock seaport in Bojonegara, Serang in order to boost the development livestock breeding in Banten. The runway of Marinda Airport in Raja Ampat Regency, West Papua will be extended to 1,600 meters. Bali export of various handicrafts and small industrial products to European countries declined in the first 3 months this year because the economic growth in Europe has not yet recovered well. That was the end of News in Brief over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at en.voi.co.id.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequencies of 9525 kHz, 11785 kHz, and 15150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here's our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is a Reward Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a segment which introduces Indonesia's tourism potentials, including tourist destinations, art and culture, also culinary. Today I'll take you to Bali province to have a look at Gunung Kawi Temple or Pura Gunung Kawi in Ubud. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via live streaming at www.voi.co.id. Gunung Kawi is one of the cultural heritages and tourist attractions in Bali. In this complex, there are 10 temples which were built in the 11th century and located by Pakerisan River, Tampak Siring, Gianyar, Bali. The temples were carved into the rock at a height of 7 meters. Formerly, these temples were used to worship the King Udayana. Here, there are three groups of temples, namely a group of 5 and 4 temples and 1 temple. Regarding the name of Gunung Kawi, it is not certain the meaning of the name, except it is said Kawi means calf. So it was concluded that the meaning of Gunung Kawi, which in Bahasa Indonesia actually, or in English actually means Kawi Mountain, is the result of carvings or sculptures located on the higher cliffs. Other than that, as a tourist attraction on the island of Bali, Pura Gunung Kawi also has an ancient history. It was discovered in 1910. Located in a groove, Gunung Kawi temple complex is divided into two, which is split by Pakerisan River flow. To arrive at Pura Gunung Kawi, you must go down the stairs numbering 320. This is because the location of the temple is in the river valley. And on the way to the temple, you will see the beautiful scenery, so once you get in the river valley, you will see the carved gunung or mountain Kawi with historical value. After you reach the end of the stairs, you'll be treated to views of the magnificent temple. If you go to the left, you will see rows of Gunung Kawi historic temples. Meanwhile, if you look across, then you will see similar temples as those on the left. The temple is located just across Pakerisan River. Most travelers would unwind and take rest on Pakerisan River bank because the water is cool and the air is fresh. Therefore, you may not litter there. The 320 stairs heading to Pura Gunung Kawi are made of rocks framed by a stone wall. The west side of the temple complex is also equipped with a pool and fountain. Seeing this temple complex, you'll be amazed by the sight of rock walls carved neatly and form curved spaces in which there is a temple. The temples are deliberately made in the niche to protect it from the threat of erosion. To get to Pura Gunung Kawi, you need to travel a distance of approximately 40 kilometers from Denpasar City, which is the capital of Bali province. While from the city of Gianyar, the distance is approximately 21 kilometers. You had better use your own vehicle or rent one, because in the area you will have difficulty finding public transportation. You don't need to fear getting lost if you use your own vehicle, because along the way there are directions to Pura Gunung Kawi. You can also use the services of a rental car with a driver, or you can also contact a travel agent to buy a package tour that leads to Pura Gunung Kawi. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today, featuring Gunung Kawi Temple in Ubud, Bali province.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Miscellany. a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and traditions, technology and environment, and even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the government effort to push the acceleration of energy from waste. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. Energy needs for community life continues to increase. Therefore, innovations to process alternative energy sources are necessary. The Indonesian government has accelerated the development of energy, among others, by processing waste into energy. It is stipulated in a presidential regulation on the acceleration of development of waste-based power plants. With the existence of this regulation, it is expected to provide a positive stimulus for energy in the future. Director General of Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation of the Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources, Rida Mulyana, said that the government is committed to reducing carbon dioxide emissions as well as running three programs, namely subsidy reform, accelerated utilization of new and renewable energy, as well as the acceleration of waste into energy program. Related to this, the Directorate General of Renewable Energy and Energy Conservation, Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources, launched a guidebook on waste to energy recently in Jakarta. The book is expected to support the government's effort to realize the availability of renewable energy supply in the future. According to a Ministry of Energy survey conducted in 2012 and 2013, the potential for waste at the final disposal of major cities in Indonesia can generate electricity up to 2 gigawatts, whereas the TAP potential has just reached an installed capacity of 17.6 megawatts, or 0.9% of the total potential. According to Rida, the large untapped potential for waste is a big opportunity for investors to develop it into electrical energy. He said there are 7 cities designed as a pilot project, namely Jakarta, Tangerang, Bandung, Semarang, Surakarta, Surabaya, and Makassar. On the same occasion, Minister Sudirman Said said that the ministry encouraged innovations in energy sector conducted with maximum utilization of renewable energy, as well as energy conservation that directly benefit the community. The minister said that the source of energy in Indonesia is still focused on fossil energy, while fossil energy reserves are estimated to last up in the next 10 to 13 years. Therefore, the use of energy sources such as solar, water, wind, and other alternative sustainable sources may be one of many solutions. This is the end of Miscellany for today. We'll meet again tomorrow with another interesting topics. Goodbye!
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Nabila Berwal in Algeria. We received Ms. Nabila Berwal's email on April 10, 2016. Miss Nabila Berwal wrote the answers of wonderful Indonesia quiz. Hello, Miss Nabila Berwal. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation. We also thank you for your answers. We wish you to be one of the lucky winners. Please don't forget to invite your family and also your friends to send their answers to www.iquiz2016@gmail.com. Who knows, they will also be one of the winners. Thank you. As our appreciation, special for you, Miss Nabila Berwal will play a beautiful song. This song is also for our regular listeners wherever you are. Enjoy the song. Listener now will reply a letter from Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast through streaming at www.voi.co.id on April 11 at 100 hours to 200 hours UTC. In his email, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan said that he takes much interest in wonderful Indonesia program. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. Nice to receive your email again. We are really glad to know that you always tune in our broadcast and you always send your report of our broadcast very detailed. Well, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are waiting for your next email and certainly with your reception report. At appreciation of your next email and as appreciation of your loyalty on our broadcast, we will play a beautiful song just for you and also for other listeners. Well, listener, wherever you are, enjoy the song.
Risau hatiku, apa yang telah engkau lakukan padaku, peluk diriku. Kau tetap di sini untukku, kau berikan keindahan, kau berikan kedamaian. Jangan kau pergi, lepaskan semua kenangan menjawab semua ini. Untukku berjanjilah, berjanjilah, oh cinta. Hanyalah kamu yang mengerti arti hidupku. Ku selalu takut kehilanganmu, cintaku.
You are still listening to Listener's Mailbag broadcast every Sunday, and now we continue to reply a comment from Suhoi Georgeta in Romania. She has sent the answers of wonderful Indonesia quiz. Hello, Ms. Suhoi Georgeta. Thank you for your participation in our wonderful Indonesia quiz, and we are glad that you have sent your answers because it means that all broadcasts can be listened in your country clearly. Hopefully, you will be the lucky winner. Well, Ms. Suhoi Georgeta, we are waiting for your next email and also reception report of our broadcast. Thank you. Well, listener, wherever you are, now we will give you a beautiful song. Let's check it out.
Mm-hmm.
segala kekurangan, semua kelemahan, kau jadikan cinta. Tanpamu aku tak bisa berjalan, mencari cinta sejati tak ku temukan. Darimu aku bisa merasakan kesungguhan hati, cinta yang sejati kalamu. Dikirim Tuhan untuk melengkapiku, untuk jaga hatiku kalamu. Jaga tulus cintamu, ternyata kamu yang ku tunggu. Cari cinta sejati tak ku temukan. Darimu aku bisa
listener, those were some emails that we can share with you this week. Actually, we have received many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign off now. We want to say thank you for listeners who have liked and visited our official Facebook fan pages. Thank you for visiting our Facebook fan pages and for being our regular listeners. Well, listener, we appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4 and 5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, or follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. And for your information, we have closed our wonderful Indonesia quiz, so wait for the result. Who knows, you are the one of the lucky winners. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we'll play another Indonesian beautiful song, I'm Ani Asana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Voice of Indonesia, let's make the world green.
Menatap
Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Sebuah cerita yang tak mungkin terlupa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id. Or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.